Blog Talk Radio.
Interest you if you're not into the paranormal. We have the book discussion with Fran Lewis, the Writing Mama Show with Virginia Grenier, The Edge with Cassandra Dane, Family Matters with Virginia Grenier and Irene Ross, What is Success with Tracy McDonald, Nick and Natalie's Children's Book Club with Marcia Gasper Cook, Right Step with R.J. Jeffries, A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Gasper Cook, Any Which Way But Loose with Bennett Pomerantz, and a new show called Meet the Author with Marcia Gasper Cook and myself. My co-host, Tracy Ford, is sick tonight, so she's not going to be here. Instead, our investigation consultant, Michael Barbie, has showed up, and he is going to be guest hosting with us tonight. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hi, good.
Good, and we have KB Miller in the house. Woot woot, KB.
Hi.
I understand.
How's it going, guys?
The weather.
You could say a little bit.
Could say this poor woman has been under the weather. She's been under the weather's weather. She's had it so bad lately. We are here tonight, actually, to discuss KB's brand new release called Ghosts from My Past. This has been out a week?
Just about
a week. I'd like to read your blurb for the listeners. The blurb goes: Scary movies have always frightened, yet fascinated me at the same time. But what truly sends shivers of fear up and down my spine is the reality of what lives in our very own homes, and most of the time just out of sight. Ghost. That bump in the night you swear must be the dog, the sound of a girlish little giggle, or the glimpse of a shadow from the corner of your eye, but you're the only one in the house. Have you ever put something down for just a moment, turned around, and it's gone? Well, I have, and these are a few of my real life ghost stories. Now, KB and I have talked frequently, so I know these stories inside now because we have shared a lot of our ghosty stuff. But for those of you that haven't read or heard these stories, you need to check this book out. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's everywhere, isn't it? Kobo, Diesel,
yeah.
Sony, everywhere. Yeah. And it's 99 cents. That's a steal. 99 cents. So, KB, let's talk a little. I don't want to talk too much in depth about what's actually in the book because, of course, we want people to buy your book. It defeats the purpose of putting it out there if you tell us everything for free. But let's talk about when you first began noticing the dead folks.
It's really weird because it started when I was really, really young. I've seen them for as long as I can remember. And I even say this, there's like a little note to the readers in the front of this that I went to my parents and I would ask them, I saw something. And no, sweetheart, it was a dream. It was just a dream. Or what is that noise? And that's just the pipes, they rattle in the walls. And, you know, 5 and 6 years old, you don't understand what that means. One of the things that one of the fans who has read the book already said, oh my gosh, my parents used to tell me this too, is that my parents used to tell me, well, that's just the house settling. when mm-hmm. you're 5 and 6 years old, you have no clue what that means. How does a house settle, you know? And
then, right.
I mean, how does that happen? So being that young, I didn't understand what was going on. As I got older, my grandmother explained, my father's mother explained what was going on with me. It's called the Path of Love. My grandmother is Irish, Native American, Indian, and the site goes from father to daughter, from daughter to son. It gets passed down that way. And so my dad had the site, and he would see things, but he was so closed-minded about it that he just tried to ignore it. And so when I brought it up, he was just like, no, 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 no. And I can remember being 12 or 13 and being absolutely fascinated with every ghost movie, anything ghosts that you could find. And this was well before, this is completely aging myself, before Ghost Hunters and, you know, Paranormal Investigators really became big. The movies about ghosts were supposed to be scary. And to me, they were scary because it's something that I knew was real. I watched Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street, and I would laugh at the absurdity of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when are you ever going to see a burnt man come out with these claws and, you know, in your dreams and bring you to a boiler room and kill you? So that was just, it didn't have the same connotation that ghost movies did. So that's kind of like when I realized it, when I first started really, really having experiences and accepting it and letting them talk to me. And I still get freaked out. We just had something happen last night, and I'm still in bed clutching my husband, and I'm like, he's like, just ignore it. Yeah, that's kind of hard when there's someone standing at the foot of your bed. Just ignore
yeah.
it. You know, so it's just, it's something you kind of learn to deal with, but you don't ever accept. I still don't accept it because I get freaked out every time it happens.
Okay, do you get freaked out or do you just get startled?
No, I get freaked. I really do get freaked out because, and I guess it all depends. There, different people see them in different forms. For me, it's just odd because there are certain times that I'll see someone and it'll be exactly the way that they were. Let's say I remember this one boy that I saw, and this story is actually in the book. He was a teenager and he showed himself to me before his accident. So I didn't see his mangled form. When I did the research afterwards and had this name and had the name of this street and this restaurant and looked him up and found out who this was, he was in a horrific, horrific car crash. And his body was mangled, but he didn't show himself to me that way. Now, I go to Gettysburg because I live there. I live so close. I have been there and seen Civil War soldiers that show themselves to me completely mangled. So no matter whether they show themselves to me in a form that's just like you would be there or a mangled mm-hmm. form, I'm still freaked out. And it startles me, but it still scares me because I don't know what they're there. I don't know if they're there to – they want me to relay a message. Or some of them don't know that they're dead. So you're just seeing a residual energy. And that freaks me out because I'm like, oh, my gosh, do they not know that they're dead? Do they know that they're dead and they're just messing with me? Is there some kind of cosmic sense of humor on the other side? So they're just, like, messing with me? So it always
yeah.
freaks me out. I just don't, you know, until you allow them to talk to you, you just don't know. So for me, it's always.
Well, I would say it would probably be more, I mean, obviously more traumatic if you're seeing those kinds of things. I don't often see apparitions. I do see them from time to time when they are in the mood to show themselves, but more often than not, it's more of a sensation and then the weird paranormal stuff that goes along with it, you know, like the
right.
doors that open all by themselves and
yeah.
doors open all by themselves and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those are awesome.
I don't know. And for me, it's generally because I don't see them like that. it's generally more of a, oh, hey, I know you're here, I'm kind of busy, come back later.
Right.
And I don't really get freaked out. Now, the times that I have seen an apparition, I most definitely was startled. But I cannot say that I've ever seen some mangled form of a once human, thankfully, because I think that would be... That's above my pay grade, girl.
It's very, very traumatic.
Yes. But after the experience has happened and you have time to, like, really sit and think about it once it's over, when you're in the moment, oh, you might as well forget it because I'm a hot mess. I am a hot mess. I try to calm down. I try to breathe. I try to just, you know, deal with it because... There are some spirits that are persistent. They're not going to leave until you talk to them. They're not going to leave until they have a message to get across to somebody. And so you just have to deal with it. But afterwards, when I sit and think about it, I'm not afraid then. That's when, like, the sorrow will kick in because I feel bad for the spirits that have messages that they want. They just wanted to get a message to their husband, you know. They die before their time, and they just need to get a message. And that's the weirdest thing in the world is to walk up to try to find somebody and say, "Yeah."
Do you almost feel a sense of responsibility to them if they, show themselves and then you can't pass that message along?
I think I do feel responsible, but then I also feel, and this is going to sound so horrible, but then I also feel like if I don't, because I don't believe that places are haunted, people are haunted. Everybody has this beacon of light that they send out, your energy, your life force. And some people have it much stronger than others. And so there are ghosts all around us all the time. And I even talk about in the book, I have literally had one show up while I was in the restroom. Now, you want to talk about somebody scared? Tearing something out of you? Yeah, that's so it is a sense of responsibility, but at the same time I'm terrified that they're always going to be with me. And most people don't understand how crazy I look standing out in the middle of someplace talking to thin air, and they're just like, should she be committed? she's talking to nothing.
Right.
What is she talking to? So you kind of have to, I've gotten kind of slick with it now that when I see them, I'll make the eye contact because they're not going to stop until you do. And I'll make the eye contact, but I'll put my head down because I'm trying to cover my mouth so that people don't see me talking and ask questions or turn to the side and ask a question. Mm-hmm. And you kind of have to get creative.
I imagine so. Now, what do you think? I know you and I have discussed before about the scariest moment, and I know that's in the book.
Yeah.
I don't want you to give everything away, but this moment where you saw this entity at the top of the stairs, you know which one I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. That one's not in the book.
Oh, you didn't put that in the book.
No, I figured that I would wait. I have three top scariest moments, and two of them are in the book. One happened in my first apartment in Westminster right after I got married, and that's in the book. Mm-hmm. And the other one was at my parents' house that they had built, which was the first very vivid experience that I can remember as an adult that scared the living daylights out of me. And really, there's a reason that it scared me, and not just because this entity showed up, and you'll have to read the book to find out, but there's a reason why it scared me. And I was literally in bed for days. I wouldn't get out of bed after that one for a couple of days because I was like, I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was going crazy. I honestly thought I was going crazy. But the one that you're talking about happened in Gettysburg. It was in Gettysburg, and there was actually a Catholic priest there with me. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
Now,
that one was actually demonic.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That one was demonic.
Wow.
Did you know? I mean, did you immediately know, or did it take you a little bit to figure it out?
As I was walking up, the priest just asked if I would come in, and he didn't tell me anything about the house. He just asked if I would come in, because I'm friends with this priest, and asked if I would come in and just see what I picked up. And I said, okay. And as soon as we hit the walkway, I could feel it. I couldn't feel what it was. I could just feel that there was something very strong. I mean, really, really strong there, stronger than I'd ever felt before. When we came into the house, they were the family. There was a husband and a wife, and they had two boys sitting in the living room with them. And the father had gone in, and my husband had gone behind me. And I walked over, and the way that this house was set up was, when you went in the front door, the staircase was right in front of you. And when you went to the left, there was like, I want to say it was like a den or like a little office kind of thing. And to the right was a living room. And we went to the right where the family was. And I walked in and was, you know, talking. And then I got this like feeling that, you know, I was just going to go walk around a little bit. And I walked and I landed in front of the steps. And there was the cutest little girl I had ever seen in my life. I mean, absolutely the cutest little girl. Corkscrew curls, cute little dress, twirling her dress. And I was just like, I couldn't understand why they had left their daughter upstairs. And I was like, you know, who does that? And I mean, just who does that? Who leaves, you bring your two sons down to introduce them, but you leave your daughter upstairs? That's sexist much? So I kind of turned over and I was like, your daughter is, she is so adorable. And the wife's eyes were as big as saucers. And I looked back up, and the voice that came out of that little girl, she started telling me how that there was a reason that my mother was disappointed in me. And I knew what the reason was. And my mother had, you know, my mother and I, before she had passed, we had already talked about this particular time in my life. And she's like, and your mother hates you for it, and your mother's this. And I'm like looking, and I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And when I said hell, she just smiled. And I'm looking at the priest going, what in the hell is that? I was like, I'm out of here. No, no way. I'm out of here.
Did everybody else see this or just you?
No, everyone saw this. The priest wanted to make sure that he, that someone else saw what he was seeing, aside from the people that, when you go to do an exorcism, there are different steps that you have to take. And this, you have to have, like, documented proof. I was, like, out of there because this was just nuts. There was stuff flying in that house. And I mean, like, stuff, I've been in places where doors and cabinets will fling, I mean, as hard as they possibly can, they will whip open and whip back and forth. Drawers will come out and silverware goes flying. I've been in houses like that. Lights go on and off. TV goes on and off. Cold chills that follow you, and we're talking 90-degree heat in the summer. Shouldn't be happening. I've been in those kind of houses before. When you have crazy stuff that, like, stuff is flying off the damn walls, and you're sitting there watching it, and it's flying, and it's not just flying. All the houses I've ever been in where things go bump, they're not aiming at people. This thing was like, it was aiming for people. I was like, I'm out of there. I'm out.
Yeah, I think I would have exited the premises quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm out.
Quickly. I probably would have. I don't go anywhere. If I'm going on any kind of investigation, I go anywhere without my salt. And there's investigators that laugh at me because they think that that's a joke. But I'm telling you, for those of you that are investigating and listening, make sure you have salt with you, because whether some people think it's a joke or not, I've watched it work time and time again. And
well, that time that I sent you that package, it was a special blend of wording salt that I sent to you, and that's, I keep that with me. I keep my quartz crystal with me. I have my cross with me, and I have a pocket Bible that I always keep with me, and it's so funny because people are like, I thought you were Wiccan. I am. I'm Wiccan and Catholic. You don't have to subscribe to only one religion. And my family's, you know, we're Roman Catholic because we're Irish. I'm Wiccan because my family, before they before they became Catholic over in Ireland, they were Druid witches. And I also have, you know, the Indian shamanism in me because of my grandmother. So I will pray to any deity that will protect my rear end. I have a pretty big keister, and I need something to protect it. May need quite a few. So I will protect, I'll take them all.
For those of you that are listening, if you would like to call in with a question, you can call 714-242-5259. Feel free to ask a question in chat, or if you want to ask a question and use Twitter, you can use hashtag the paranormal hour, and we will try to answer your question as quickly as we possibly can. What were you going to say, Michael?
Well, I was laughing with me being a demonologist. I've called on a lot of different deities in different situations, and everybody's like, well, why are you doing that? Because that entity may respond to that one, and I don't really care as long as I can send back what I called up. So I was laughing when she said that. I thought, oh, my God, that's the best idea I've heard.
Now, see, I don't call deity. I don't call them up to me. I have this strict rule that I leave the dead where they're at, and if they need to talk to me, they can come seek me out. I will not go seek them out. I will take pictures, and I will, you know, take my recorder with me and go out. My husband and I go out all the time. My son has become like an avid, he wants to be on the field now all the time. But I do not go seek them out. I don't call out for them or call out to them. And I don't think that I would ever really have to, because they just kind of show up on their own. I can't do the whole calling out. And it's so funny. We were just having this discussion on my fan page the other day. I had put on there, because I have another book that's coming out this weekend, actually, The Dead Game. And it's about a college student who moves into a new house, and in her mother's new house that they move into, she finds this Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, you know, have you used a Ouija board? And I'm like, no, hell no. And we have people that were posting on there, they're like, oh my gosh, I have, and it was the worst experience of my life. It took forever to get everything to settle down. It took talking to this person, and, you know, I'm like, yeah. I don't call out to anyone. They show up. They show up, and I do try to ignore them. It doesn't work. It doesn't work well at all, but I do try my best to ignore them because, I mean, it is a lot to handle. It's a lot to handle. And when they invade your space, when you're out, when I'm out and about, that's one thing, you know, but when you're laying in bed, you're just laying there and you're watching TV and, it was like, I want to say it was probably 2 years ago. It was right around the time that, maybe right after the time that I had sent you that that little care package thing. Mm-hmm. I was laying in bed watching, what the heck is that show? I can't think of it now. Oh, it's Dead, what is it?
Deadwood?
With the girl, Amy Allen.
Oh, what is that called? No, I can't remember either. I know what you're talking about.
It comes on right after Ghost Adventures. I was laying in bed and I was watching that. Dead Files. And it was a really freaky one on that night. And I was just like, I admire the way that she's able to keep herself under control. And when she's going through the different emotions that she goes through, I can feel it. Like, I can feel it inside because I know how I feel when I'm going through it. And I just happened to be laying there, and Bryce caught a shadow out of the corner of his eye, and I happened to look over, and I about jumped 10 feet out of the bed, scurried under the blanket, and I'm like, he's out there. He's standing there. Bryce goes, I thought there was something there, and I'm like, So when they invade your space, and you're, like, getting ready to go to sleep, and you're in the middle of watching something spooky anyway, that's, like, the worst time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very inconvenient.
It's terribly inconvenient. I agree with that.
There's no romance happening that night.
So, oh, yeah, my goodness. Now, Michael and I have very diverse opinions about Ouija boards. We have had frequent debates. That's a kind way to put it, over the use of...
Oh, I love them.
Those start of... Yeah, he thinks they're just the best thing ever, and I say, run, Forrest.
Yeah,
do not,
no, I'd be
do
running.
Do, I, my advice is always do not mess with things that you are not fully familiar with, because you don't know what you're getting.
Well, and that's, I guess that's part of, like, my issue with it, because there were, when I'm writing fiction, works of fiction, I don't mind writing about Ouija boards and everything else, and, I mean, we've known each other for a long time, and you kept saying, publish, and as a matter of fact, that's who the dedication's made up, it's to you for giving me that firm kick in the keister to publish it, because I just didn't want to put it out there at all, so... my issue is calling. You don't know what you're calling, and the little girl was proof in the pudding to me, is that you don't know what you're calling. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I have friends that are priests that have been around this and performed exorcisms and been in the room for. There's one priest that has been in the room for two exorcisms, but can't perform one because he's not strong enough to handle it, because you never know what's going to come through. When you open that door to the other side, you don't know what's coming through. You never know what's going to attach itself, and that's always my fear, is that you can try to protect yourself as much as you want to, but you never know what's going to come through, and a lot of the times when they come through, they're not coming through as who they claim to be, and when you're ready for them to leave, they're not ready to leave. They're just getting started to have a good time.
Right. Right.
So I don't...
Well,
it's
the concept... I like to use this particular analogy. Dead folks are the same dead as they are living. So some are good, and some are very good, and some are bad, and some are very, very bad. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not taking into consideration, you know, the other entities that are out there. So if you would not open your front door and invite 50 million strangers into your home because it might be dangerous, then you most certainly should not open any other doors and invite 50 million strangers into your home because it's probably dangerous.
Exactly.
It's you know, especially if you're a novice and you really don't know what you're doing, because divination is not, I don't think it should be considered a game, especially
no, no, no.
when you're using something like that.
But
now, Michael,
yeah,
now I'm
going to
be fair, and I'm going to let you voice your opinion instead of talking over you, so you go ahead.
I agree with you 100%. But for me, the best entities are what I try to bring through with the board for specific purposes. So when they come through, I kind of know what I'm getting. I mean, it's... I can pretty much guess their true form and true nature. But, you know, even I admit, a Ouija board, I've had trouble. I've had one that I had to keep away from my house because it never closed. And it was just a pain in the butt. But I like them because they have their purpose. And I agree, it's not something I'd recommend for everybody. But they have their purpose for special things.
Well, then we all agree.
See, you're laughing at me.
Well, I just know how crazy you are.
You know, I'm going to call him it, so it's like, oh, yeah, that's him.
Hey, pot, meet kettle, kettle, meet pot.
Yeah.
But no, and that is something that you've said a couple of times, Kimi, the concern that people would think that you've lost your marbles.
Oh, yeah.
Is it still something that bothers you now that the book is out and everything's out there in the open?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it doesn't bother me. It's just, you know, you get those sidelong glances like, where before it was like, oh, that's KB Miller. She, you know... She's an author, and She writes about witches and, you know, the paranormal romance kind of stuff. It's so cool. And then now you go out to the store and you get these sidelong glances like, oh, that's KB Miller, the nut job who says she sees ghosts. Oh, my gosh. She's living in our town. And it's just like, you know, they don't say anything. They just give those glances. And there are, on the flip side of that coin, there are people that come up and they're like, you know, I see them too.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I feel them, or I hear them. I've had one person ask me, she was like, can I ask you a question? Can you tell if somebody else is as sensitive as you? And I'm like, no, I'm not that, I don't have that ability at all. I just see, I can see the dead and I can hear the dead and that's it. And I'm like, why would you ask? And she goes, because I'm pretty sure that my friend has been blowing smoke up my butt. Like, why would you say that? And she's like, well, she keeps telling me that this person's passed away, and I just talked to him on the phone, and I'm like, well, but that's a conversation you should probably have with them. I can't tell if other people are sensitive or not. I can only tell you what I feel and what I hear.
Yeah.
What I see. And so I do feel when I come into a room and there's a ghost there, I know that one's there. If I come into the room with another person who can see them, I could not tell you. Could not tell you. Because I try so hard to block myself off from so much of it as much as I possibly can. This is the one aspect that I've not been able to block myself off from.
See, and I've heard that from other people before. There are some who can just almost shut it down completely. And others who say there's just no way. There's just no way.
No.
And everything just comes in no matter what they do. They can't stop that inflow of information.
You can't. And the closer we get to everyone's like, Halloween is KB's favorite holiday. And it is. And it's more for the commercial reason of it because I love pumpkins and I love fall. It's my least favorite time of the year because as the veil's thinning, for Samhain, which is what Halloween is actually based on, All Hallows Eve, that's like the worst time for me because there's nothing I can do. The closer we get, there's nothing I can do. I can get it to stay by putting the salt wards around my house. I can get them to stay, for the most part, out of my house. But when I'm out and about, it is so difficult to go out because people really think I'm crazy. Last year I went to Heller Reed's and I kept my head down as I was walking to different places because I just knew somebody was going to be like, we invited this crazy chick up here to speak at Heller Reed's and this crazy nut job is babbling to herself on the side of the road as she's walking to her car. So I'm trying to like keep my head down because, you know, I can see things and it's not always pleasant, but the closer we get, it's, yeah.
See, I choose a bit of a different path because when I encounter them, unless it is somewhere where I am isolated, I don't acknowledge their presence at all. And sometimes even if I'm busy, it seems like when I'm really in the midst of something, that's when somebody wants to show up. And I'll just be like, I'm busy, not now.
Right.
And most of the time they listen and they're, you know, considerate enough to go away and come back later, which is usually in the middle of the night, which is also very annoying. But I just don't engage, even if I might sometimes, and like I said, I don't see apparitions very often, but there have been times where I've seen people that I'm not sure are real. So I might elbow somebody and say, you see that guy right there, right? And if they go, well, yeah, I'm like, okay. And they're like, why? And then I try to think of something like, well, look at that jacket. Is that not cool? Or, you know?
Right.
Try to cover. But if they say, what guy? I'm like, oh, never mind. I just thought I saw something, and we go on. Because you're right. Out in the real world, people are a little judgy. But I've found, I don't know, since the haunted books, since the first one came out, And if you're listening, if you want to hear my true ghost stories or read them, you can find them everywhere. They're haunted 1 through 4, 100% true ghost stories. You can, since those came out, I have had the best response. I've had a few people say, wow, this chick's a nutcase. I had a great terrible review on a UK site that they said I was blowing smoke up my own arse.
Oh my god.
And it was funny. It was it's really my favorite review, even though it's a terrible review, just because it was so funny. I thought, man, I really want to meet that person because they're hysterical. But more times than not, I've had people say, I'm so glad you published this because I've been going through these similar situations my whole life, and I was to the point where I thought I was crazy.
Right.
And I didn't want to say anything because if I'm starting to think I'm crazy, I know nobody else is going to believe me.
Right.
And that's really sad because I've discovered in doing this show and publishing those books that there are more people out there who have experienced these supernatural events, I think, than people who haven't.
It does start to look like it's becoming, like it is becoming that way, that they've had experiences. It does.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that does make me, like, it makes me feel a little bit better. It cracks me up when they're like, are you going to go out and be the next, you know, ghost adventure team? Yeah, no. No. I go out with my husband and go out with my son, and there are a few other people that I'll meet up at the battlefield or here or there. There are a few places that I have a really strong affinity for that. I just love going there, and it just happens to make it a little bit better that, you know, things do happen and I catch things and when I'm there. But no, I'm not going to do that. And then someone else asked me if I had to choose who I would go out on a ghost hunt with, the Ghost Adventures team or the Ghost Hunters team, who would I pick? And I said, okay, since my husband is not listening to this broadcast, I'm sure he'll, like, listen there later. Purely for the purpose of being cute, the Ghost Adventures team. I think that Zach Bagans is an absolute Fruit Loop, but I think he's completely adorable. I don't get down with the whole calling spirits out like that, like being derogatory. That's not a good thing. That's never a good thing, is to go out there and berate and do the whole things that they do. Show yourself. Get your sorry butt down here, and you're nothing but a piece of this or that. I just don't believe in that. I don't think that's the proper way to do things, and only because I can see them and I can hear them, and a lot of people can't, and you don't know who you're screaming at, and you wouldn't go up to a total stranger out on the street and say, you know what, get your ass down here, you piece of crap, you know? You wouldn't do that. So I don't think that you should do it in the spirit world either, because whether they're alive or dead, they were once alive, but they do understand what's going on, and you're likely not to have a good experience after that. You may catch an EVP, which is, okay, whoop-de-doo, but because you can catch 10,000 EVPs if you're nice, if you show them the same respect, you know. I don't get down with that. And then I would choose the Ghost Hunters team just because, for that exact reason, that they do go in and show respect. And although I have to say I'm really disappointed since Grant's left. He was my favorite on that team. But that's, like, where I come from it. But it's always funny, like, now to hear these questions that they come up with, and it just cracks me up. And my PA, who's also one of my best friends, Cherie, is in the chat room. I can see her in there.
Hi, Cherie.
She's my love. She's been taking care of me while I'm sick, along with my husband, who happened to just... How well did I time that comment? Because he just walked up here. So I timed that comment really well, right?
Yeah.
they've been taking care of me while I'm sick. But she's been fielding a lot of the questions and things, doing all the things on the fan page, because I'm just too sick to do it. And everyone's like, well, you have to write more. Well, I have to stay off of Facebook to do that. So.
Yeah.
That way I can have more, you know, I can go out, because I have a lot of pictures and stuff, and I thought about this because someone asked me if I would post some of the pictures that I talked about in the book on my website. So that's what my husband's working on over the next week, is setting up a special page for some of the pictures that we've taken, that, you know, to put up so that people can see some of the experiences that I've had and some of the results that I've had. And like I said, I don't go hunt them out. I tag along with him, and it just so happens that while we're there, craziness happens.
Just
and she's finally saying hi.
It finds you, huh?
It does.
Well, I see that seems to be the story with anyone that you talk to that has a frequent, anyone who frequently experiences these things, it seems like they find them everywhere they go.
Yeah.
And more times than not, this is not a scientific study I've done, but in the numerous people that I've discussed this with, it seems as if once someone has lived in a place that has an incredible amount of paranormal activity, from that point on, they are sensitive to their environment and tend to run into more and more of them. Now, that's not the case for everyone, because I did talk to a lady who said that, you know, she lived in this one incredibly in haunted house. In fact, it's in one of my books. I believe it's in Haunted 4, her story. And after she moved out of there, she never experienced another thing again. But most folks that I talk to say once they've been inundated with it, that's it. They're stuck with it for life.
Yeah. I had a friend who she didn't feel or hear or see anything, but she would, you know, she was in that group of people that she was like, I wish I was able to see it. And I'm like, are you out of your mind? I'm like, seriously, are you like smoking crack or something? Why would you want to see it? Because it's not, this is the best way I can, you have people that want to see this stuff, and they think it's like ghost whisper. Okay, they picture themselves or fancy themselves Jennifer Love Hewitt in her heyday when she, you know, she was glorious. And they'll go out and talk to ghosts, and it'll be wonderful, and that beautiful tear will trek down your face. What they don't realize is that the reality of it is when I see it, I have never been someone to run away from a problem. I've never been someone to run away from a confrontation, because if I'm right about, and you know this, if I'm right about something, I will argue my point until I'm blue in the face, until you understand it. So I've never been one to run away from something. I see one, and I turn tail, and I run like a little rabbit. Because it just scares me. It's not what everybody pictures or imagines it to be, and so I think that people need to really be careful what they wish for, because it could happen to you, and if it happens, like I said, they are all around us everywhere. Just, you know, they are everywhere, and you'll run into them in the restroom. You can run into them out in the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't you think, though, I mean, you talked earlier about not accepting it, but don't you think that there has to be a modicum of acceptance? Because if you don't, you know, if you don't in some way accept this is my life and this is what's happening to me, you will go crazy.
You know me, and I put up blinders, so I'm like, I don't have to accept this. It just happens, but I don't have to accept it. And once it's over, it's over, and I just don't have to accept it. That's kind of how I've lived with it this whole time, is that you don't accept it. I don't accept it. It's just something that happens, and it's always happened, and I just live with it. I deal with it. I accept that I have a great big booty. Now, I can change. I can change living with that great big booty. You know, by exercising and losing weight and stuff, I can't change and turn this off. So it's the opposite. It's the absolute reverse of, you know, how that goes. So
For me,
it's just
the opposite with, because I feel like I have just accepted it. This is my life. Not only do I accept that this is going to happen sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes not. It depends. But I not only accept that it's going to happen, I expect that it's going to happen. And
no, there's a different word. Do I expect that it's going to happen? Yes. I don't accept it, but I expect it, because that's it's been happening for so long, but I just don't accept it. People say, well, you're a medium, or you're a sensitive, or you're this, and I'm like, nope, I'm a freak.
People are always wanting to put labels on it. I don't know how many times somebody has asked me if I was a medium or a clairvoyant.
Right.
Or, I would admit maybe to being sensitive. But
here's the best answer I've ever given, and I pride myself on this answer now. I say, no, I'm the little boy in Sixth Sense. I see 10 people. And I leave it at that. Just call me Haley Joel, because, and leave it at that. I don't know what it is. Somebody once tried to, like I said, I've had a lot of experiences, and one of the experiences that I had down in Gettysburg, actually, Elizabeth Matusiak, she has a book called The Battlefield Dead, and she wrote about my experience. It's in the book by The Battlefield Dead, Volume 1 by Elizabeth, or was it Volume 2? No, it's Volume 2 by Elizabeth Matusiak. And she wrote about one of my experiences down at the Triangular Field in Gettysburg. And what stemmed from that that occurrence, that visit, there were people, researchers, Civil War researchers, and they got involved with a group of people that were trying to figure out, you know, well, she's gotten the name from somewhere. She's gotten the name from somewhere. And they actually, the records for this particular soldier were not public. They were not known, because this soldier fought with, he was from Tennessee, and during the battle, his regiment was completely wiped out, and he ended up going along with the Texans. And they had to search. I mean, they had to search and search and search and search and search. And when they found this, there was somebody who came in, and they're like, are you a psychic medium? Are you? And I'm like, this is somebody who actually works for the federal government who asked me this. And I'm like, I don't know. I have no clue. I just know that I saw him there, and, you know, this is all I know. And they're like, you've got to be a medium, because there's no way that you could have known that name. That name is not one of those names that are readily available out there for people to get, to fake something. And I'm like, why the hell would I fake this? If it wasn't happening to me, my life would be a lot easier, because I could go on about my day and write my little fiction books and, you know, bake my little pumpkin pies, and I'd be a happy little camper. So,
right.
The woman was just like, that's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. You are so lucky. And I'm like, okay. They always say you're so lucky. You're either so lucky, or you're absolutely bat crap crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two responses that I get from people.
Wow. Well,
I think
that you're right. There are many people who misunderstand what it's like. I think a lot of people, though, who are, really want to experience things that haven't, for them it's maybe more of a validation. There's a lot of people that really just don't know for sure if they believe there's anything after life. I think they want to believe, but deep down they just can't make themselves commit to that idea. So
right.
For them it's more of a validation that yes, we do go on after the physical body dies. For others, I think it's more of a desire to see loved ones that had passed, hoping that, you know, if they could harness that particular power, they could talk to grandma or Uncle Joe or whoever, you know?
Yeah. And those are the people that I honestly I do understand, because it's not because they're thrill seekers. They're looking for closure. They're looking, they want to know, and that was something that I guess that I got lucky when my mom passed away, because, you know, I was so young. I was, you know, just married. I hadn't had kids yet or anything, and lost my mom to breast cancer. And it comforted me because I knew that I would see her again. Because
yeah.
I knew what existed on the other side. So I guess in that respect, I did get lucky, and I'm thankful for that reason, that I know that I'll see her again. Because if not, that's just, it's too much to, that would be such a hard thought to have going on in your head, that, you know, are you going to
yeah.
see that one person again?
Yeah, goodbye forever is a
yeah.
very hard concept, I think, for most people to grasp. It certainly would be for me. I can't imagine a goodbye forever. Goodbye for now
yeah.
is hard enough.
Right.
So, but I do think that there are a lot of folks, and then there are, like you said, the thrill seekers, and I can almost relate to them. You know, after I did that ghost investigation in Smack Over last year, was that now? No, that was this year. In January, after I did that, I've kind of just become addicted to it, and I just want to do it a lot. And for me, it's not because I can experience it in my bedroom. I don't have to go to haunted places to experience
right.
that. But for me, it's wanting that desperate need to find documented proof that it's there. So I can say, look at this. I found this. I found that. This is actual evidence. This is real.
Right.
I am not a nutcase. Well, I am a nutcase, but not about this particular topic.
Right.
So
I think not certifiable crazy.
Right. I am
yeah.
funny, haha, but not funny weird.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I think that that's my, okay, no comment, Michael. I knew something was coming. I heard that throat clear, and I was like, oh, here he goes.
Oh, no, I wouldn't dare.
But I do think that there are a lot of folks that are into that, too. And speaking of investigations, let me talk a little bit about the upcoming shows for just a second. We have coming up on our next show is Colin, who is a ghost investigator. And she's going to be talking about a lot of her experiences. And then the first show in October is going to be our good friend Alicia Spark. She's coming back to do more card readings for listeners. So you guys be here and call in, and she will give you a tarot reading that will probably blow your mind, because every time she's done mine, it's blown my mind. And then on the 17th, we have Pink, which is a paranormal investigation group out of they're in Missouri, right, Michael?
Yes, out of Raymore, Missouri.
Raymore, Missouri. And you just went on an investigation with them, didn't you?
I did, and it was great. Great team. We'll have a lot of interesting stuff for that show.
Oh, good. Good, good.
The founders, J.D. and Tanya, very lovely, very bright. And, you know, I've never went into a basement or cellar before and to summon a demon. And to tell the people I'm going to go down and summon a demon and have someone like, ooh, I'm going too. So that was unique for me.
Yeah, because when we were investigating you and I, there was no way that was happening. I would be telling him in the car on the way there, not, don't you dare. Don't you even ask, because you're not doing that when I'm with you.
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, you kill all the fun. I'm like, no, not when I'm there.
we've got some interesting stuff. It was house from 1895, I believe, when it was built. It's a farmhouse. At the time, it was a mansion. Still quite gorgeous inside. They've been there several times. Each time got various comments that I can't say because of the FCC on the ghost box. They've been punched in the stomach. A lot of activity, a lot of documented stuff, and really great.
Wow. Well, that looks to be a fantastic show, too. So if you're listening, remember the second and fourth Fridays of the month, and that particular show with Pink will be on the third Friday. We're going to have one in between as a special addition to the Paranormal Hour. Who did I just cut off? Because I heard somebody say, oh.
I was getting ready to say something. I've got some good news. I just got a message from them and stuff. I've been invited to become a permanent part of their team as a consultant.
Oh, wow.
They are
so
awesome.
Cool
team.
Beans.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Very excited. Thank you.
We'll have a major inside track to lots of ghost investigations then.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be great.
You've
all right,
gotta
let's
get
see. We are winding down here. It is 10:56 p.m., so we are coming up on the hour. And before we head out for the night, KB, can you give the listeners your website, please?
Yeah. It's www.kbmillerbooks.com, and you can find everything. There are links to everything there. To all of the books, to all of the different social media sites, and anything and everything that you could probably want to know and probably don't want to know about me, Earl. Just a one-stop shop and go crazy.
And the new release is called Ghosts from My Past.
Ghosts from the Past.
It's true ghost stories, all of which are very interesting because, like I said, she's already told me all her ghost stories. So.
Yeah.
You need to check it out. You can find me at Willow Cross Books on Facebook or at Willow Cross on Twitter. If you would like to hear my true ghost stories, look up Haunted. They're everywhere. They're 99 cents, or for a small period of time, I've got the entire set on sale in a box set for $2.99. Michael can be found on Facebook at Michael Barbie. Go check him out. And, of course, come check us out on our Facebook fan page, The Paranormal Hour. We love to take ideas. If you have an idea for a show or there's certain people you'd like us to have on as guests, feel free to send us a message and let us know. And thank you so much, KB, for being here tonight and sharing your story.
Yes, it's great having you.
And
thank you so much. It was nice talking to you for the first time, Michael.
Thank you. You too.
And thanks, Michael, for filling in for Tracy. And to all of you out there from all of us here, have a great night and be safe.
Before you sign off?
Huh?
Before you sign off, I need to say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Pink is Paranormal Investigation National Kinship. And I recommend everybody check out their website, Pink Paranormal Unknown and Weebly.
Oh yeah, and they have some seriously cool gear too. That you guys might want to check out. I get a T-shirt. I'm excited about my T-shirt that's coming. They have all kinds of cool gear, and it is a non-for-profit. It's a not-for-profit organization. They sell their wares simply to raise money to use to buy the equipment that they need to fund their investigations because they don't charge. All right, so that's it. We're going to wind it all down, and everybody have a good night. Be safe, and we'll see you next time in the Paranormal. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Night.